Hey guys, this is Mike and welcome to the Pilots Talk Technique podcast. In this series, we'll discuss the most common misconceptions regarding aviation technique and theory circulating in the Philippines and go back to the books to discover why these are wrong, and thereafter, we'll discuss what's actually correct to make us all better and safer pilots. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Pilots Talk Technique, where admittedly this week we're coming out a little late, but that's okay, we're not going to let the week end without another episode. So in case you were able to catch the Instagram post we published earlier this week, you'll have an idea about what we're going to talk about today. And if you were unable to see it, well, we are on Instagram, it's at Pilots Talk, so please subscribe and share to your friends so more people get to chime in to the topics that we bring out week after week. So this week we're going to be talking about flaps, you know, those movable surfaces at the back end of your wing, and not the type of flaps that you pay to get your license, if you know what I mean. Anyways, although I am a licensed flight and ground instructor, this series of podcasts is not intended to replace actual flight or theoretical instruction. If you wish to become a pilot and start your pilot training, get in touch with me so I can give you some recommendations based on your training needs. Anyways, with that said, let's get back to the podcast. So, flaps, you know, trailing edge flaps. These are things that you discuss all the way back from your PPL ground school. So, like I said, this is pretty fundamental knowledge. This is really PPL level knowledge, and we're not going to dwell on it too much. We know that there's different types, you know, the plane, the split, the slotted, the Fowler. We know that it increases the curvature or the camber of the wing. It affects CL, or changes CL, coefficient of lift, so that we don't have to fly so fast or have such a high angle of attack to maintain level flight. It allows us to approach the runway at a lower airspeed, a higher descent rate, and a steeper descent angle, and it can get us off of the runway in a shorter amount of distance. So it's a pretty important tool in a pilot's trick bag or toolkit or arsenal, if you will, especially during landings, and we'll expound on that in a little bit. But for now, in line with the other episodes of this series, we'll talk about, you know, some of the misconceptions regarding the use of flaps. I don't want to call it the misuse, because misuse implies that they're using it above the published speed limitation. Maybe for simplicity's sake, we can call it disuse or non-use of flaps when it's not really prohibited to use them. And we'll get to a few examples. Number one is, I've noticed this in a place where I used to work in a general aviation charter organization, and I've noticed this with some flight instructors that they don't want to use full flaps, even if there's no strong crosswind, even if it's just a light headwind, or, you know, even if it's wind calm. More often than not, these pilots would tell you that the first notch of flaps, or flaps 10 degrees, is all they need for landing, it's all they need for the airplane. And while it's true that the amount of flap deflection is really subjective, it depends on the pilot's comfortability, depends on the wind condition, the runway length, it's not prohibited to use full flaps. This is what people need to remember, you know? A lot of engineering obviously went into the flap system, and a lot of testing went into finding out the aerodynamics of it, the aerodynamic effects of deflecting your flaps. So to say that only the first notch is all you need is kind of putting to waste all of that testing and all of that designing and engineering into the flap system. So that's what strikes me as odd, and I think the fallacy involved with this, or associated with this, is the notion that using less flaps gives you more control of the airplane. And I've heard pilots say this, instructors and, you know, general aviation pilots alike, you have more control of the airplane with less flaps. This is not entirely true. The controllability you get is not because of the flaps or using less of it, it's about the airspeed at which you approach at. We know that when you use less flaps, you approach at a slightly higher airspeed, not by much, but just slightly higher, and when you use full flaps, you use a slower approach speed. Okay, that's a given. But because of that higher approach speed, there's more airflow over your surfaces, and we have to remember that the surfaces are still airfoils. And an airfoil is any body that produces aerodynamic forces as it interacts with moving air. The strength of those forces is dependent on how much air it's interacting with, or how fast the air is flowing around it. So, faster approach speed more air flowing around the airfoil, more controllability or more control. It's not about the flaps, it's about the approach speed. So, is it possible to have a little more control even at full flaps? Yes, you just add a little carryover speed to help give you controllability, especially in strong, gusty winds. We're gonna limit this to mostly headwinds or strong headwinds because flap usage for strong crosswinds and mostly crosswinds is gonna be a different conversation. So is it really prohibited to approach at a faster airspeed with full flaps? Well, not really, as long as you're not exceeding your VFE. You have to remember, even airliners like an A320 or, you know, a 737, 777, or even corporate jets like a Gulfstream 650 or a Global 6000, you know, most of the time they would land with full flaps, and if need be, they would just increase their approach speed, especially in strong, gusty conditions. There's that formula for the VREF where you take half of the gust factor and add that to your approach speed, so you have a little more control effectiveness during the approach. So, going back to the original notion that all you need is flaps 1 because it gives you more control, or flaps 1-0 first notch of flaps because it gives you more control, not entirely true. It's the airspeed. So if you want to achieve a shorter landing distance, and if you want to have a little more effectiveness, go ahead, use full flaps and just add a little more airspeed, especially in gusty conditions. Now, to address what I said about using or not using full flaps during strong crosswinds, this is the reason why. When you're using more flaps or full flaps, you have more drag, the airplane flies slower, unless you make it fly a little faster, obviously, but generally the airplane flies at a slower airspeed, and there's this tendency for the airplane to weather vane into the wind. When you have the crosswinds pushing against the side of your vertical stabilizer, then it's making you nose into the wind. You have to remember that the vertical stabilizer is only effective if its chordwise flow is fast. It's just another airfoil, so it produces a strong correcting force. It's giving you more vertical stability if there's a lot of airflow flowing over it or around it. It has to be chordwise flow for it to be effective. So when you're slow, there's less effectivity of the vertical stabilizer, there's less vertical stability, and you have this tendency to nose into the wind or weather vane into the wind. This is one of the reasons why we shouldn't use full flaps during strong crosswind conditions. You would also have more lift on the wing that's into the wind because of 1, the chordwise flow because you're moving forward, 2, the spanwise flow from the crosswind, and 3, from the flaps that you deployed. So, if there are strong gusty crosswinds, you have that risk of constant roll, or the hazard of constant roll disturbances, which you're constantly fighting the airplane to get down to the runway. Not entirely the ingredients for a stabilized approach. So if you check the POH or the AFM of the airplane you're flying, if you go to the amplified normal procedures, there might be a provision there for crosswind landing saying, use the minimum amount of flaps necessary for strong crosswinds. That is the reason why. So that's one aspect of things. Then we go to something a little more odd. Now there is at least one school here in the Philippines, here in the country, that would teach you the primary means of landing is always going to be flapless. Don't get me wrong, they're going to teach you how to use flaps or how to land with flaps, but this is probably going to be in the ballpark of 10 or 20% of the time. Majority of the time, you're going to be landing flapless. Which, you know, is odd, and it isn't until recently when I found out a possible explanation, so shout out to Paolo Masaren for the insights on that. Yeah, we'll talk about that possible explanation a little later, but for now, remember when you're approaching with no flaps, you fly at a slightly faster airspeed, and this would entail a longer landing distance because you have to bleed off that excess energy. You have to remember that the wing will keep flying if there's a lot of air flowing over it. It will only stop flying when it's ready to stop flying, when it's about to stall. You know, landings are always made at full stalls. The best landings, rather, are made at full stalls. Now, there is a corresponding penalty for not using full flaps on the landing, especially if it's not a crosswind condition or a strong crosswind condition. But how bad of a penalty? Well, when you open the POH of the Cessna 172, the Skyhawk, there will there will be the performance section and the landing section saying those numbers are based off of a full flap configuration. Now, if you opted to land without flaps, you have to increase your approach speed by at least 9 knots indicated and compute for 35% longer landing distances. It might not sound intimidating to some because there's that ongoing notion that a Cessna can land anywhere in the Philippines, can take off and land anywhere in the Philippines. But what if you were approaching a short field? What if you had to do an emergency landing or an engine out landing, and the only free space available is a very short field? Now that 35% becomes all the more important. Would you still use zero flaps for that? Obviously you wouldn't, because you don't want to end up hitting something at the end of the runway, or you don't want to miss your field completely. What some people need to realize is that the best landings are 1. Made at full stalls near the surface of the runway, because like we said, if the wing still wants to fly, it's going to keep flying. You're going to end up bouncing on the runway. And 2, the best landings are made at the least amount of energy possible. 1, because nobody dies at a crash of 40 knots, but somebody can get seriously hurt when they crash at 100 knots. So that's why we need to land at the least amount of energy possible to mitigate the risks should the unwanted happen. Also, landing at the least amount of energy possible gives you less runway distance required, it gives you less wear and tear on your tires and your brakes, and you effectively mitigate the risks of overshooting your intended field or the runway. So if you still insist that the primary means of landing should be in a no-flap configuration or a flapless configuration, then I suggest trading in your Cessna 172 for something like a Cessna 140, or a Piper Cub, or a Boeing Stearman, which have no flaps. you know, let's remember that airmanship, or single pilot resource management, or whatever you want to call it, requires the pilot to use every available resource available to them, whether inside or outside of the airplane, to ensure the safe outcome of the flight. And, you know, your flaps are a resource that you can use if they're there, if they're not failed. They're a resource that you can use to ensure the safe outcome of a flight, especially on the approach to landing portion, or especially the landing portion. So not using them is really not exercising proper airmanship or exercising SRM. To recap this episode, or to wrap this up, the use of full flaps is not something to be afraid of. It was put there for a reason. If you're concerned about the controllability issue, just add a few extra knots to your approach, even at full flaps, especially in gusty conditions. Then you'll have more control of the airplane. It reduces your landing distances, so that you have less wear and tear on your tires and brakes. It mitigates the risk of overshooting the runway, or it mitigates the severity of injuries should the unwanted happen, that somebody crashes on landing. Now, there are acceptable or recommended instances or scenarios where full flaps shouldn't be used. Like we said earlier, it shouldn't be used during strong crosswind conditions, so you don't weather vane into the crosswind, and so that you don't have too much roll disturbances. And it's not really necessary when you're trying to use when you're trying to shoot an IFR approach, so that there aren't too many pitch changes that you have to trim for to achieve a stabilized approach. Set your first notch of flaps, trim for that to achieve a stabilized approach, and fly the airplane all the way down to the runway. Now, to cap off the episode, let's talk about that one possibility why some schools would teach you to land without flaps as the primary method. And somebody believes that it could be something lost in translation, because it could have been a hazing ritual or like a power trip from instructors prohibiting their students from using flaps on the approach, so they can't see over the nose very well, they float too much on the runway, or their landing distances increase. So it could have been a power trip or a hazing ritual that got lost in translation over the years and became the primary method. This is why, as instructors, we have to avoid those power trips, so that the people after us, or the instructors after us, don't misinterpret it and perpetuate that improper practice. Yep, that's that. That ends this episode of Pilots Talk Technique. PTT should come out every Thursday of the week, but we had a slight delay this week. Fret not, next week we're going to come out with a fresh episode on Thursday, so hit that follow and subscribe buttons on Anchor, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, so you get instantly notified when a new episode comes out. Also, please follow us on Instagram at PilotsTalk, and if you've heard of any misconceptions or improper practices circulating in your organization, send us a message so that maybe we could center a future episode around that. Also, don't be afraid to share this episode and all the other episodes to your friends, your colleagues, so that you have a discussion point when you're sitting around the lunch table or chilling at the pilot's lounge because a flight got canceled, and that will expand this pool of knowledge that we're trying to build with this series of podcasts. Anyways, until next Thursday, fly safe, be your best self, and as Tanette Rivera would put it, airplane owners talk maintenance, pilots talk technique. See you next week, guys.